On March 19th, after already ordering bars and restaurants to close for in-person dining, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf made this declaration, which effectively shut down most business in the state.
Non-life critical businesses are to cease operations of their physical locations by 8 p.m. tonight, with enforcement to begin Saturday.
But what exactly is a life critical business? Does building a house count? What about an apartment building? How about a casino?
There's just been like a lot of back and forth at the state and city levels about whether or not construction is considered essential.
Why have some construction sites been allowed to stay open? And what does their story say about how the state is treating businesses and workers as it muddles through this pandemic? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Jake Blumgart is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. Jake, how did you find out about this story?
So it started with a construction worker who got in touch with me. He was really upset because he had friends who were working on the site for this new casino they're building in South Philadelphia called the Alive Hotel and Casino. It's going in there down next to the baseball stadium. He was angry and worried because he had these friends who were working on this job site that he felt was like manifestly not worthy of putting their lives at risk during a pandemic. So I reached out to a foreman on the site, and he explained to me what was going on there. Both these guys did not have permission to talk to the press, so I didn't use either of their names in my story, and I won't hear either. But the foreman basically told me that a drywall finisher on the site had tested positive for the coronavirus in March. And so the entire crew took a break for several weeks and came back to work for the first time last Monday. But when they did come back, they were still pretty worried that it wasn't safe.
And what was going on there that made them so concerned?
So to be clear, you know, when I talked to the foreman, he described to me what he thought were pretty rigorous safety regulations. Everybody was wearing masks and gloves. Hand sanitizer and kind of hand washing stations were like much more prevalent. Nobody was allowed to touch each other. He was kind of like, usually on a construction site, guys will horse around, wrestle, you know, high five, stuff like that. And he was like, it's a whole new way of doing business because there's no brotherhood anymore, is what he told me. But other workers I've talked to, both on this site and on other projects, say that there's only so much that you can really social distance on a lot of construction projects. You know, they're full of a lot of tools that workers hand off. One guy, you know, pointed out they all use porta potties, and you just can't really keep those particularly sanitized. As he said, there's just not a chance in hell. And there are projects you have to do on the site that you can't do by yourself, and you can't stay 6 feet away from somebody.
Like what?
Like, you need two people to hang drywall, and they're still going to be within 6 feet of each other, was one example that was provided to me. So with the virus so pervasive throughout the region, there was just a lot of fears that, you know, one guy could come in exposed, and it could spread around the whole workforce.
And let's just back up a second. Why was construction going on at a casino in the first place? I mean, all non-essential business is supposed to be closed in the state. So what's so essential about a casino?
Right. That is a really good question. And one that was surprisingly hard to get an answer to.
This isn't a decision that I take lightly at all. Effective at midnight, all non-essential stores are to close in Pennsylvania, as well as bars and restaurants, except for takeout.
As you know, Governor Wolf released a list of life-sustaining businesses in mid-March.
Essential services, including municipal services like trash collection, grocery stores, medical facilities, are to remain open.
And there's just been like a lot of back and forth at the state and city levels about whether or not construction is considered essential. So ultimately, government officials decided that it's not really unless you're building something like a hospital. So Philly gave construction sites a kind of week to button up their projects. If you don't have a roof on your building, you have some time to like put a roof on there, time to like secure the site and ensure that people can't break in, like fall off something and hurt themselves. But a company could still apply for a waiver to stay in business after that kind of extra week that Philly gave them even if they aren't also on the governor's list.
And what does it take to get a waiver?
So a company can write to request a waiver, and they have to make a case for why they should be allowed to remain open to perform certain activities. The Community and Economic Development Office, or DCED, then decides if they can get the waiver. So I reached out to both DCED and the Cordish Company, who are the ones developing the live hotel and casino, to ask why they were able to keep building. And Cordish got back to me and basically said they'd gotten a waiver because their building, which is really huge, it is the size of a city block. It's just a simply massive construction project that in normal times, like up to 500 guys might be working on at once. So they said that they needed more time to button up their site and make it safe. But my conversation with the state authorities at DCED was a lot less clear.
And how so? Like, when you talk to DCED, like, what are the criteria that they use to weigh these waiver applications?
So when I contacted them, they told me that they've gotten a ton of waiver requests and that they basically couldn't tell me who had gotten a waiver or not, and that they would let me know once they had concluded the review process for all 42,000 waiver requests that they had received. Now, this despite the fact that many thousands had already received waivers. So you'd think they might just have a list of businesses that had received the waivers already. But no, they couldn't tell me who had gotten it, even though Cordish had already told me they had a waiver. So eventually, 4 days later, which is a very, very long time in terms of, you know, requesting an answer to a very simple question, they eventually confirmed that the company had received a waiver. Meanwhile, when we published our story, the Philadelphia Inquirer also published a story. And in the newspaper's article, it said that the state said that Cordish and their general contractor didn't have permission to work on a construction site at all, which is not what they told me. So when I confronted the state authorities with the fact that they were, you know, telling two journalists two different things, their office just sounded confused. It was just like a very bizarre interaction. It was one of the most bizarre interactions I've ever had with a public agency, where one hand just didn't seem to know what the other hand was doing, and they were just being needlessly opaque.
Wow, so this was really messy. Is the waiver system this chaotic across the state?
Yeah, the whole thing is a total mess. It seemed like the folks at DCED were utterly confused and didn't really seem to have any sense of what was going on in the field. They didn't even seem to have a clear sense of their own rules and regulations. And Pennsylvania business owners across the state have also been really frustrated by this. Sometimes two of the same types of businesses that both applied for waivers are getting two different answers. My colleagues Laura Benchoff and Ryan Briggs reported on this. They talked to the owner of a car dealership who hadn't gotten a waiver, even though his competitor, who was about 25 miles away, had. Some people have pointed to possible political favoritism in the process. Spotlight PA reported that some of the businesses that did get waivers included Governor Wolf's family's cabinetry business and Senate President pro tempore Joe Scarnati's chocolate company. And I should also say the cabinetry business, which the governor had divested himself of, their waiver was rescinded later. So we're just kind of seeing the same kind of thing in the construction and real estate industries. There just doesn't seem to be a standard that's being applied across the board.
When we come back,
it's important to remember that people's health and lives are at stake with every business they agree is essential, even when sometimes it maybe isn't.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yakov, speaking with WHYY Plan Philly reporter Jake Bloomgard about businesses that have been allowed to remain open during the coronavirus pandemic. So let's get back to the workers at the sites, Jake. Their safety is the reason these places were supposed to close in the first place. Are they still working at the casino construction site?
So it's complicated. Some of the workers at the Live Hotel Casino are part of Sheet Metal Workers Union Local 19. The president of that union, Gary Masano, sent out a letter to his members about the fact that he felt the casino project, along with several other high-profile construction projects in Philadelphia, weren't complying with CDC regulations to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. He didn't specify in the letter what those regulations were, and the union did not respond to numerous requests for comment. But in any case, the sheet metal workers included the Live Hotel Casino, as well as the Philadelphia Art Museum, which is going through a big expansion project, and the new Philadelphia Police Department headquarters at 400 North Broad were kind of the three sites they targeted. He felt that his union members weren't safe there, so they pulled all Local 19 members off those sites.
Okay, so some workers are still working at the site, just not the ones in Local 19?
That is my understanding, yes, although it does seem pretty changeable day to day. I'm not sure if any other trade unions followed Local 19's lead. The Building Trades Coalition also did not respond to my request for comment. But the general contractors who are working on the Philadelphia Museum of Art and the Police Department headquarters both did stop construction after Local 19 pulled their workers. The museum said it was because of union concerns, but the city said they stopped for a variety of reasons.
So, Jake, this waiver process seems all over the place. There's been pushback from workers. Some companies have changed course and just stopped construction. Why do you think it's been so difficult?
Yeah, I mean, to begin with, the Community and Economic Development Office hasn't always had the best reputation. In normal times, it's an agency that's, you know, usually involved in dispensing grants, tax breaks, and other economic incentives, some of which are seen as kind of controversial because, you know, some critics allege that they're, you know, tools that politicians and other politically connected individuals can kind of use and access to gain re-election or, you know, gain favor, basically. And now, instead, they've got to sort through all these waiver requests. As of April 3rd, they've gotten 42,000. And it's not like they, you know, necessarily have a ton of people to be investigating everybody's claims and, you know, checking on what's being done at all the sites and stuff like that. They don't have the resources to do that. And this is a totally unprecedented situation. This office is all of a sudden being charged with weighing the public health versus the economy. And they have all these businesses applying for waivers. Unemployment is surging because of the economic shutdown. And they have to figure out kind of how to square this circle. It's just not a process that they've been through before, that anybody's really been through before. And they're just kind of making it up as they go along. But they also don't really seem to be rising to the occasion and just seem like they are really floundering in terms of responding to the most basic questions about their process. And, you know, it's important to remember that people's health and lives are at stake with every business they agree is essential, even when sometimes it maybe isn't. And also, just like business owners are confused, workers are confused, it would just be nice if they could, you know, iron out some of these kinks.
Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, it was great to be here, as always.
That was Jake Blumgart reporting for WHYY's Plan Philly. For the last time, I might add, before he moves on to a new gig. We'll miss you, Jake. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San, and we're saying goodbye today to our intern, Kelly Brennan. Kelly, great job, and you will be missed. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll see you tomorrow.